Hello, everyone, and welcome to our June 2021 behind the scenes audio. So this month is a little different. Again, there hasn't been any really interesting editing going on in my world. Nothing really technically difficult. So I didn't want to do another questionnaire because really, how many of those can you do back to back? That doesn't seem right. But the idea of a quote-unquote production commentary, the way I used to do in the boudoir, was sort of floated to me. And I thought, you know what, I haven't done one of those in forever, probably 8-9 months. And they are something that I still get requests for. So why not? And in the spirit of pride this month, I thought I would revisit my very first FRF audio and my very first, let's call it my very first technically advanced audio. It's actually a series. It is the Will o' the Wisp series, written by Sandy Stockings too. This series is a benchmark for me in a lot of ways. And I actually had to go back and listen to it again to to be able to talk about this. So it was three audios. The first is me by myself. And then the last two I did with Hannah Slama. So this was my first collaboration in GWA. It was the first time I had done anything that was with another female in audio, in the audio space, obviously being a collaboration or my first collaboration. And it was the first time that I ever soundscaped an audio. So given what we know of my, you know, tendency to overdo everything I do, this was kind of the start of all of that for me. And it really deserves a place in my history, in my journey, a place of honor, because it holds a distinction in so many ways, for those reasons. So I thought I would talk a little bit about that series and how that all came to be and what sort of triggered the move toward more technically advanced audios. So where the soundscaping came from and what made me sort of move toward that away from just basic audios. All right, well, let's do that. Now that I've set it up, I may as well tell the stories. Okay, so I had grabbed this the script. So I've filled for Sandy Stockings 2 before. I believe I had done at least one other one at this point. I know I had done Control Room, which was my very first rape script. So my very first consensual non-consent in GWA. Yes, it was. I had to think about that, but yes, it was. And when I saw this one, I thought it was terrific. It was really funny though, because I pulled it in like, I think I released it in April. So it's a Halloween type audio and not, I didn't release it anywhere near Halloween. I just like that shit all year round. So that's what grabbed my attention is I thought, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to do this now because I love it. But when I originally grabbed the script, I hadn't thought about doing the other two audios because at that point I was like, fuck, I don't know how to collaborate. Nobody's going to want to work with me. What the hell? Very similar to how I think about shit now, other than I do know how to collaborate now, but I still actually think that nobody's going to want to work with me. Anyway, that aside. So I had pulled the script and kind of just, it took me two tries to get it right, because the fear angle in this one isn't something that I had done before. Not like this. And I wanted, at that point when I was recording the audio, I thought I was going to have to sell the whole situation just on my voice, because up till that point, that's what I had been doing. Everything I knew about audio, everything I had studied from the performers that I had chosen to study, was very basic in terms of effects, in terms of background. There was no soundscaping. This was just not a thing that that I was really aware of. And to be honest, wasn't really something that was being done a whole lot at that time. So this was just over a year ago. Like I said, it was like April. So I thought, I've got to sell this. Well, the first time I did it, it was atrocious. I cringed as I went to edit it. I listened to it and I got partway through and I'm like, oh God, this is terrible. It was so bad. I had to stop. And I straight up just deleted the source file. And I never delete anything, like never delete anything. And I had to get rid of it. It was that offensive because it sucked that much. So I re-recorded it. And I really had to go to that place of fear and not worry about it. Because what was happening is I was getting stuck in my head. I was getting stuck in this, oh my God, I sound stupid and I'm not going to be able to do this mindset, which as a performer, you can't do. You have to be able to, what's the old saying that we used to use in theater? Believe the cheese. It's cheesy as fuck, but you have to believe in it. And that's no matter what the scenario, and I'm not talking about the script being cheesy as fuck, I'm talking in general. You have to believe whatever scene you're playing, you have to believe the scenario and you have to sell it like you believe it wholeheartedly, no matter what it is. So I thought, fuck it. I mean, it's just me and my microphone at this point. If it sucks, it sucks. Great. I don't have to release it. Which is kind of the mindset I take now. And that was one of the moments where I really started holding on to that when I went to record things, because I didn't want to play safe. I didn't want to do the same old things and not take risks and things like that. And this script was a turning point for that as well, because it kind of gave me the idea that I could do things outside of just your standard, you know, GFE, friends to lovers kind of audios. Although at that point I hadn't really started doing the friends to lovers, but I had done some GFE. I was still figuring out what I was doing. So I recorded it and I edited it and got it all ready. And then I was talking to somebody in the community that was not acting as a beta listener. I didn't really have a beta listener at that time. But they were, I would sort of send them things that I wasn't really sure about. They'd been around the community for a while, knew their shit, knew what was good, and I trusted their ear. So I sent it to them and I said, what do you think? And they basically told me it was boring, which was like soul crushing, because I thought I'd, you know, done this great performance and, you know, it was going to be so good. And no, it was boring. And I said, well, what do I do? Like, I don't know if I can perform it any better. Should I just move on and do something else? And all they said to me was, if you're in a swamp, why is it so quiet? And I went, oh, okay. Because I'd never actually thought about that. This was, you know, like I said, long before I started creating scenes in my head where I could hear things, where I could hear, you know, you walk in and what part of the room you walked in from, where I could hear background music, where I could hear the crickets at night and shit like that. That wasn't something that just naturally happened yet. To me, an audio was just a voice. And the voice conveyed what was going on and you just kind of closed your eyes and went with it, right? So when they said, you know, why is it so quiet? I was like, that's a valid point. I mean, she's in a fucking swamp. It's not going to be quiet. That's not a thing. And admittedly, I got a little pissed off because I was like, you just told me my thing is boring because I did the medium the way it's supposed to be done. Fuck off. But then I thought, who says that's how it has to be done? Here's this fantastic script with all the earmarkings for a phenomenally fleshed out scene. Because let's face it, that script gives you everything. It's all there. You just have to pick up on it. You just have to find it and pull it out. The writer, Sandy Stockings 2, does some just brilliant writing. And gives so much to the performer to work with, both from a performance standpoint and from a scene creation standpoint, from a world building standpoint. So I've got this phenomenal script and I've got this awesome audio that I want to put together, and I'm wasting half of the potential. So I went back to the drawing board. And let me tell you, it was painful. Fucking painful. Because that was the point where I learned that editing audios was completely different than editing music. So mixing and mastering tracks for music is a totally different fucking story than putting together an audio mix. And I didn't know that, because why would I? I had no idea. My levels were totally different. My treatment of my vocal was totally different. I had no idea what the hell I was doing. I was winging it right from the first second I started playing with it. The first thing that I had to figure out was, where the hell do I get the sound effects? Because I had theater, I have theater effects from when I used to do theater that we would use in shows and things. And I have, they're actually still on CDs, on discs. And I have a zip drive. Actually, I have two zip drives that have stuff on them, but nothing as intricate as what I've started using now. And nothing that would work for this particular audio, because I started hearing things as I listened more to what was going on with the story and started really hearing it in the swamp setting. There were things that I wanted to do, and I had no idea where to get those sound effects from if I didn't already have them myself. So I dug into GWA Backstage. I started asking around in the one Discord server I belong to. Started asking a couple of the VAs I was talking to at the time, and I sort of pieced it all together and managed to get the sounds that I wanted. And then I listened to my first run at it and I cringed almost as hard as I did when I listened to the first recording of the script, because it was a mess. It was such a mess. First of all, the first thing I did, so I don't know if anybody's actually listened to the thing, but it has two different backing tracks to it. So there's the normal nighttime scene where, she's just out and about, and then there's the part where it turns sinister, where she realizes she's in trouble. Okay, and then at the end it flips back. So I originally did not do that. I started with the sinister one and went all the way through. And when I listened to it, it just didn't make sense. Like, it sucked, because it was too much intensity right away. Like, as she's doing the opening part of the scene where she's talking into the phone and talking to her friend and whatever, it didn't need to be that sinister up front. It didn't need to have that intensity right away. There was nowhere to go. There was nowhere to build, because I had literally given away the farm right in the first 30 seconds because of the score in the background, because of the soundscaping, because it had a track underneath the night sounds. So I was like, okay, well, that doesn't work. So I had to cut it back. And I thought, okay, then I have to figure out how to blend the normal nighttime with the sinister nighttime and find the right levels. Because the other thing is, nighttime sounds can be really distracting, because there's things like crickets and frogs and shit like that that make really awful noises if you're not careful. But they can also be really distinct if you're looping them. I had no fucking clue what that was. I had no clue. I know how to loop, obviously. I've looped music and I know that you have to line things up and I know how to do that. But looping a backing track that's not music but is an actual effect for looking for things that aren't musical cues was just, I was like, what the hell am I doing? That took a little getting used to. I remember the one run through it, I heard the loop distinctly because it was in the middle of a frog noise. And it was the most obnoxious frog noise that I think I ended up actually going through and cutting out. But it was a frog noise and it was like this big crescendo, and then it just cut and went right back to the beginning of the loop. And I was like, well, that didn't work either. So there was so much that I just didn't know. And that audio took so many hours to edit, so many hours, because I knew nothing. So when I finally got the background the way I wanted it, I got the two pieces mixed the way I wanted them. I had this dilemma because she's supposed to have this, like she sinks into the muck, right? And then she's supposed to have this great big gasp, which is supposed to signify the scene change. So she goes from the swamp to her car, and all of a sudden she's, you know, normal again. Well, I didn't know how to do that with the two different backing tracks. And I thought, okay, there has to be this big moment. Like it has to have this impact. So I ended up creating this crescendo into that moment where the gasp is basically this cut transition into dead silence in her car. But it's not silent. It feels silent because it's all of a sudden not so intense, but it's actually just the normal nighttime. And I will tell you that I was like sweating as I was timing that. And the fact that it worked, I still don't know how it worked because I was winging every fucking second of that. Every second of that. But it worked. And I remember listening back to it and going, wow, that was the moment that I realized what potential there could be in these audios if I learned how to do this properly. If I took what I already knew and I adapted the skill set, if I learned more on top of it, because I already have the software, right? I already know how to use my software for what I use it for. There are other elements to the software that I had never needed because it's not what I used it for. If I took the time to really learn how to do this, to really focus on building this skill set, these audios could just be next level. And by that, I mean immersive. And it really made me excited. It made me think I could actually do this and make these good. Because up until that point, I was still kind of figuring it out. And yeah, people had been saying they were enjoying the audios and they were good and blah, 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 blah. But there wasn't really any thought in my head that this could be a longer term thing or that, you know, I could do really well with this, that I could, you know, continue to improve. It kind of felt like it had a shelf life at that point. I didn't see where I could go other than as a performer, and I kind of saw that as having a shelf life. Like there's only so much you can learn from audio porn, right? So it was kind of the moment that I went, wait a minute, there is a whole other side of this world that I can learn from and I can grow as a technical person, like with my tech skills. Wow, that was great. Brain cramp. As an editor, as you know, so many different facets of this. And that made me excited to keep going and to figure out what else I could do. What could I do with every audio to raise my own bar? So that is what I did. I took the audio when it was done. I took it to the person that had asked me why it was so quiet. And I let them listen. And they came back and they were like, this is exactly what I meant. And I went, okay, thank God. Because if they had said anything else, I would have cried. But just the fact that that was the feedback I was looking for, I thought, all right, I'm gonna post it. I posted it. It did all right. I mean, it did well for what I did then. It didn't do anything like I do now, but it was solid. And the writer was happy with it, which was the important thing. Because when I fill a script, if the writer's not happy with what I've done, I've failed. And that's just how I see it. But the writer was happy with it, and I was happy with it, and that was I was good with that. So then It was, I believe it was Sandy Stockings 2 that actually came to me and said, okay, you've done the first one. Are you going to do the second and third? And I went, I've never collabed before. I've never done an audio with a woman before. I don't even know what that would look like. Oh my God, I'm panicking. So I said, you know what? I gotta get better with this as a performer, like me, as just me first. And I kind of just brushed it off and didn't think anything of it. I honestly didn't intend to do it, to be honest. And then Hannah Slama, who, if you haven't listened to their stuff, go and please do because they are phenomenal. They were asking for collaboration ideas the one night. And I thought, you know what, this might be right up their alley because it's different. And that's what they were looking for. They wanted something that was challenging and outside the box. And my anxiety kicked in. And then I thought, you know what, what's the worst they can say? No. Great. Then I know, right? So I sent a message through Discord and I said, this is the script. These are the scripts. And this is the one that I've already done. And what do you think? Let me know. And then I tried to forget all about it and not panic and, you know, worry myself into a stupor. Because when you have anxiety, that's what you do. And they came back and said, yeah, let's do it. And I went, oh my God, this is actually happening. Crazy, scary. Oh my God. So awesome. Awesome. Like I was in awe, because somebody that was around for so long and so good at this was willing to work with me. What the hell? So we arranged it and we recorded the second one separately. Great. I cut it together. Turned out really well. That was my first experience with panning. So one of the things that I started playing with quite a bit was the stereo panning, so the right to left to right. And that was one of the first audios. That might have actually been the first audio where I really played with that because I took the piece from the first one, because in the second one, my character goes crazy, like she's been taken over by the evil character, by the evil will-o'-the-wisp, because she's basically given him a blowjob in the first one and that causes problems. Anyway, so she's got this entity inside of her and she's got her best friend with her now, and she's basically luring her best friend into the swamp to feed the best friend to the wisp. So there's a little bit of sinister happening. So in certain lines, there's references to her own experience. So what I did is I panned in some of the panic and some of the stuff that was going on in the first one, just a very brief like flash of it, almost like it was going through her head as things were happening. So that was my first experience with stereo panning and with playing with the left and right channel, because everything I had done up to that point was mono. And it worked out really well. I was really happy with it. And Hannah Slama was happy with it too. So when they said they were happy with it, I was like, yes, that's great. Perfect. And then we did the third one. The third one we tried to do as a live recording. So we tried to record it together, not live with an audience, but like together at the same time, in on Discord. And the recording did not work. My microphone was cutting off the tops and the bottoms of my words. So it was cutting off my S's. So instead of having too much sibilance, I wasn't having any. And it was cutting off the bottoms, and it wasn't picking up the recording part wasn't picking up some of Hannah Slama's stuff either. So when I was trying to edit it together, I'm like, I can't even like do the editing pieces to put the effects in. I couldn't even save it. Like it just wasn't working. So I ended up messaging Hannah and being like, you know what, this didn't take. Can we record separately? So we ended up recording separately. They sent me theirs and I cut it together and it turned out really, really well. We had to adjust because we had some technical difficulties, but it turned out well. And to say that I'm proud of that whole series is an understatement, because it really was the epitome of what I knew I could be capable of in this medium. It was the first time I had worked with another performer. It was the first time the effects were really a part of my plan. Because when I planned out the second and third one, even before, you know, I approached Hannah Slama, I knew that I wanted to do the effects again. And I knew I wanted to sort of push the envelope on that. And it was, the whole thing just changed who I was as a performer and how I was approaching this medium. Great scripts will do that for you. When a script is terrific and gives you so much to work with while at the same time giving you so much headway to do what you've got to do for yourself, like to figure out your own spin on it, to figure out your own take on it, to do things that make you unique as a performer. In this case, this series gave me the opportunity to find my voice in so many different ways. I probably would not have started doing effects the way that I do them now, or to the extent that I do them now, if not for this script. And that's pretty huge, because if you listen to my content, there's a lot of soundscaping going on because I love doing it. I love creating immersive environments, and this audio is where that started. This audio is where I began to realize that that could be a thing, and that, you know, there was no limit on how much you could do with that. It's neat to look back and see where I started with that versus now. I listened back to that audio, like I said, I had to re-listen to it, and I hear so many things that I know now I could have done differently to make it better. But at the same time, I listen to it and I go, you were figuring it out. And it worked for what you were looking for at the time. It worked. So awesome. So it's kind of nice to look back to where certain parts of the journey started. Because if you had told me when I first started in March of 2020 that I would be doing full soundscapes and creating, you know, scene changes and all this other stuff, spatial awareness around the microphone and the binaurals and everything else that I've been doing, I never would have believed it. I would have said, no. But this audio, this series is where it all started. And to say I'm grateful for that is an understatement, completely an understatement. I don't dig deep into the history of my journey enough, I don't think. I don't think about it enough and appreciate sort of where it all came from enough. But I owe a lot of gratitude to that script and to Sandy Stockings too. I've done several of their scripts since, and all of them are phenomenal. I mean, just terrific, terrific writing. And yeah, it's really cool to look back and see where it started. So I think that's it. This one's like a half hour long. Fuck, I'm long-winded. What can I say? It was a three-part series though, so we'll you know, chalk it up to that. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this. I'll link the audios in the post, so if you haven't heard them, check them out. They're on Reddit. It's a great series and had a lot of fun doing it. And yeah, hopefully I'll do more production commentaries like this. I didn't want to do a production commentary that was like technical, like to the point where I was digging into the software and could actually be showing you what I was doing. I kind of wanted to do this from a reminiscence standpoint, that was more my thoughts on the process than the process itself. So hopefully you enjoyed this. Let me know. And thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for being here as always. And I will talk to you next month.